may be seated.
Hallelujah. What a glorious thing. When you think about standing around the throne and taking that time to worship and praise the Father and for eternity. Wow. Let's encourage each other on. I believe that is our purpose, is that we are to encourage each other on towards that goal. Dale, if you will come. Dale Swartzentruber is the lead pastor of the church in the New Covenant Church in Indiana. Dale has been serving, I think, in the ministry for 20 years. And the one word that describes Dale is faithful. And his credentials are, again, that he's full of the Holy Ghost. And I think that's enough. And we're looking forward to what you have to share with us this morning. And you are blessed to use this pulpit this morning to honor and glorify God. So let's lift you up before the Father. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you. We adore you. We thank you for this vessel of clay that you have made, that you have put together, his voice and his mind and his spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would right now protect and anoint, that he would be able to share the word and share your thoughts with us here this morning. God, I pray that the words that he shares would be protected, that they would be able to, when they leave his mouth, that they would be able to reach the ear of the hearer without being defiled or twisted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Blessings to you. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been extremely good to be here this morning already to worship with you all and to sit in on the hymns that Ray was leading and teaching. And it's just been a blessing to be here this weekend as well. We've been in the area before, but it's been a long time, and we were just reminded of how beautiful your, I guess you'd call it a valley here. It seems like one to me, but yeah, just how beautiful everything looks out your way, God's creation. And it's as well beautiful to see your congregation here this morning. I bring you greetings from ours in Indiana. We are enjoying the Lord's blessing in our community, in our congregation as well. And it's been a real, I guess as we come in here this weekend, our minds go back to our relationship with this congregation and with Dave especially, as he's been our advisor for the 20 years that we've been in existence. So this was kind of a refreshing time for us to be out here to spend time with Luke and Karen and Dave and Carolyn, and as well as Steve and Joy, and get the impression that you guys just eat out here all the time. We did a lot of eating since we've been here. Shady Maple, and oh my, ate at Dave's house, ate at Luke's house, and we've just enjoyed the fellowship around that food. And we were able to take in Sight and Sound yesterday afternoon, just a tremendous message of grace that we were presented with there in Samson's life. I don't know, some of you have probably seen that already, but yeah, just it's been a real good weekend for us to be here and to be with y'all. I have a message that I'd like to share this morning. And, you know, as I was looking back over my notes and so on, I was just reminded of how real this is in most people's lives. And I'm guessing it's real for y'all out here as well. But as I've been looking in Scripture, I've come to understand that Scripture has it's not a new thought. Scripture has the answers for the things that we face in life, its difficulties and its trials. One of the things that we often hear about in Indiana, and I'm guessing you hear about it here too, you talk about it, is the fact that our lives are busy. We're busy doing things, and we're stretched from time to time, and sometimes we're overwhelmed, and we say we're stressed out. Does anybody here get stressed out? Yeah. And, you know, some of you came here today, And like was mentioned in Luke's prayer, some of you might be carrying a burden. You might have come this morning not sure what you're going to be facing tomorrow or the rest of the week, or you have some obstacle facing you, decisions you need to make, and so on. Some of you came this morning on top of everything, and you're just excited about life. We find ourselves in both of those places, I believe, from time to time. But sometimes we get caught in, and we find ourselves being anxious, and we become overwhelmed with worry and doubt, maybe fear, and concerned about things that you're responsible for. How will it all work out? And I believe we basically face life in two ways. Some of us are the type that says, well, don't worry, everything will work out. It'll all be okay. But others may be at the place where we say, well, nothing is going right. I might as well give up. And I think depending on our character, our personalities, the way we're made up, it has a lot to do with that. But I'm excited to tell you this morning that the Bible has the answers for a stress-free life. You know, let me think a little bit here. I've been around a little while, not as long as some of you, but I think 30 years ago, I didn't hear about people being stressed out. It was it's kind of come on lately here, where people have stress-related sicknesses. We get stressed out. We have things that we might say, I've been under stress this week. We use the word in a lot of different ways. I'd like to propose that in one way or the other, we are either under stress or we're concerned about someone who is under stress or we're causing stress. And I hope we're not doing too much of that, but it comes from somewhere, right? And when I think back about that word, I know that it used to be a word that we would use if you were in construction or building things, and you would be concerned maybe if there's a crack appearing somewhere in a bridge or in a building, and you'd say that it's under stress. There's stress on that point. We need to take care of it. We need to fix it. And but that's changed. We use the word in our everyday language anymore. And one of the definitions that I've come across for stress is that it is the physical pressure, pull, or other force exerted on one thing by another. The physical pressure, pull, or force that's exerted on one thing by another. I brought a few things this morning. I thought I might ask for a volunteer to help out with this. Any takers? It requires a little bit of effort. I see a guy in a blue shirt over here. Oh, that's great, Dave. I just brought a couple props, and that I'd like for you to use to demonstrate what stress is, the pressure of one item on another. And, you know, whether it's a stick, let's see if you can break that, Dave. Yeah. You put it under stress and it broke. All right? Okay.
Now you're going to give me a 2x4.
No, I'm going to give you a balloon. I'd like for you to blow that up. And can you blow it till it bursts? Or just keep going for a while there. That's our bank there, by the way.
You want me to burst it?
Yeah, or you can tie it and burst it. But the pressure is being exerted. And, you know, I'm not saying that anyone here is getting ready to burst, but sometimes we feel that way. great. Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome.
You will be blessed.
I will be.
Stress. Sometimes we feel like we're being bent under a heavy load and we're weighed down, and sometimes, you know, we reach that point where we feel like we're going to break. What do we do? Where do we go to? What do we turn to? Or like the balloon, you know, it's coming in from every side, whether it's pressures at work or family pressures or friendships, or you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes we feel like, you know, something's got to give here. And there's a passage in Scripture that I just love, and I'd like you to turn there to Philippians chapter 4, that I believe gives us a clear understanding. It gives us some clear direction as God's people, where we can turn to when we're facing those times, when we're ready to break or burst or whatever the pressures of life are bringing us. We all find ourselves squeezed at some time or another. For some of us, it's a real struggle to not worry about life, things that are coming our way. I'd like to, in chapter 4, verse 2, he uses the word implore. He's imploring Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind of the Lord. Obviously, there's some stress going on. Two sisters that aren't seeing eye to eye, or we're not sure exactly what was going on. But he's imploring them to get along, to be of the same mind. And then he says in verse 3, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So first of all, he's talking to believers, talking to the church. He's talking about everyday common people that have been serving the Lord, their fellow workers. Their names are in the book of life. Without a doubt, these women are serving the Lord. But they're not getting along. There's something going on there. And so, first of all, this morning, I want to say it's not right. Let's not stay there if there's struggles going on. But on the other hand, I'm going to tell you this morning, this happens. There's times that we don't all agree. And that doesn't mean our names are taken out of the book of life. He's not saying that, but he's encouraging them to work through it. Deal with that stress, because it's going to become greater. And then he goes on, verse 4, and says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the remedy. And I'd like to present that to you this morning. Rejoice, relax, and then rest. Paul's letter to the church. You could sum it all up in one simple phrase. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but just pray about everything. You know, I think we all know that it's not healthy to worry. We need to trust God more. But I think this morning, a lot of us also know that it doesn't work just to try to do better, to not worry so much, or to not fear so much, or to not become discouraged so much. But Paul says to take it to the Lord. It goes beyond just trying to do better. We need the Lord's help. We need his direction. And so often we tend to wait, or at least I do, to wait to pray for the big things. Well, if there's something big coming up, definitely need to pray about that. But I'd encourage you this morning, let's pray for the small things so they don't become big. A word that's used to describe stress is it's an old English word that means to choke or to strangle. And that is exactly what worry and anxiety do to a believer's life. They choke us. They get us in a death grip, and we feel like, you know, the end is coming. Sometimes it gets us to the point where we can't go on. We break down. But don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. When we think about Paul writing this letter, at this time he's sitting in a prison cell. I say cell. I don't think it was anything close to what we imagine prison being like today, or that we know prison is like, where it looks pretty comfortable. But I think he's in a place here that's very uncomfortable, possibly damp and cold and dark. But here's this man of God. He has his brothers on his mind, and he says, rejoice. And when I think about that, and I put myself in his shoes, and I think I would be caught up in how bad my situation is, how bad I've been treated. I was serving the Lord. I was doing great things for the Lord, and here I am. Lord, where are you at? Sometimes we do that. We ask questions. But here's this man of God. He's imploring the church to rejoice in the Lord always. And I think he demonstrates a very important lesson, and that is that our inner attitude does not need to reflect our outward circumstances. What's going on in here doesn't need to reflect what's happening to me. It's so easy to become discouraged when we find ourselves in a difficult spot. And I don't want to propose to you that Paul is just excited to be locked up, and he's just rejoicing that this happened to him. I don't think that's where he was at. He was rejoicing in the Lord. His faith in God, he didn't doubt God's faithfulness. And he was able to rejoice in who God was. And I'm not proposing that we rejoice that we're having to face a surgery or some of the things that, like Steve's needing to make a decision. But he can rejoice in the Lord. He can rejoice in who God is. And, you know, I think it's important that we get real. Things get difficult in our life. Things fall apart. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. That's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I think the key there is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. There's so much value in rejoicing, and when things start falling apart around us, to be able to enter into the presence of the Lord and think about God's goodness, and maybe enter into worship and be reminded of who God is, how faithful He is, and the things He brings to our life are for a reason. When we rejoice, our hope increases. Our spirit is refreshed. You know, one thing it always does, it validates our testimony. You know, people around you see that it's not going the best for Dale today, but, you know, he's not giving up. He's got his eyes set on something bigger than that flat tire he had this morning, or that order that didn't get filled, or whatever it is for you. We see beyond that, and we see the Lord. Rejoicing eliminates some things as well. We're not as tempted to complain or, you know, be pessimistic or have a negative attitude. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats, he says, again, I will say rejoice. Then he goes on, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And I think we could say there your gentleness, or perhaps your graciousness, or your forbearance. Let it be made known to all men. Let people see that even under these adverse circumstances that you are forbearing, that you're gracious, that you are gentle. You know, we relax in different ways. But I think what he's saying here, or what I'd like to propose, when you're letting your gentleness or your graciousness be made known, you're not getting all, you're not falling apart. You're not, when someone says something that doesn't strike you quite right, you don't fly into them, but you're forbearing, you're gracious, you're not quick to say words that you shouldn't say, or say negative things and so on. I don't think we should enter into an unreal or a fake. We shouldn't present it as, oh yeah, it's so bad, but oh, it's all good and so on. I don't think that's necessarily being real, but we should keep our chin up. You know, sometimes we'd like our life to be easy. We'd like things to just everything go right, and we'd never run into any struggles. But there's a street in Hawaii called Easy Street, and it's a real place. And I read this, that if you take the Pali Highway north out of Honolulu, about half of the way to the pass, you turn right on Park Street, and you go one block, and there it is, Easy Street. And, you know, the only problem is that when you turn left and you go one block, there's a sign there that says dead end. And that's often how it is. We think we're on Easy Street, but it gets us nowhere. And so we need to anticipate these things in life. Not everything is going to go as we had expected. But he says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That could mean a number of things, I believe, but first of all, he is always near. Amen? He's always near. He's at hand. And Paul, he understood that. He was in this bad place. He was in a dungeon probably, but he understood that the Lord was with him. The Lord is at hand. Scripture also reminds us not only of the continuing presence of the Lord in our hearts and in the lives of his people, but we should also be alert to his return, to be expecting his return to take his church. It's at hand. It could be at hand at any time. Let's not lose sight of that. And I believe when we're able to find ourselves in that place, there's a recipe to be relaxed. And then we go to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'd just like to say, don't sweat it. Let God know about it. Tell God about it. 1 Peter has some good words for worry. He says to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for you. I like a quote from Chuck Swindoll. He says, the more we practice giving our mental burden to the Lord, the more exciting it gets to see how God will handle the things that are impossible for us to do anything about. The more we practice giving our mental burden to the Lord, the more exciting it gets to see how God will handle the things that are impossible for us to do anything about. Just to sit back and see God take over. He doesn't promise to take all the things that cause anxiety away, but he does promise peace. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, 1 Peter talks about those who are kept by the power of God. That word is, who are kept, is from a Greek word, phrureo, and it's a military term that describes a sentry or a soldier standing guard in front of an open gate. He's standing guard so that nothing could enter that should not enter. And Paul is saying here that is how God's peace will guard our hearts and minds, like a soldier manning his post. And it's very difficult for us to rest when our minds are full of anxieties and fears. This glass of water found its way up here, and it's perfect. I want to use it for an illustration. How heavy would you say this glass of water is? Half a pound? Somebody knows? Pound and a quarter? I didn't. Any others? It's more than a box of butter. So it doesn't really matter. But what the absolute weight of this isn't really that important. But what I want to use to demonstrate is that the longer I hold this glass, the heavier it seems to get, even though the weight doesn't change. Let's say it's 2 pounds. I can hold it here for 5 minutes, and it's still 2 pounds. I can hold it here for an hour, and it's still 2 pounds. But it starts feeling heavier, and by tonight, if I keep holding it out here, my arm would be giving out, right? And I love how it's been illustrated that it's so much like the worries and anxieties that we carry. And, I might hold this for a while and I wouldn't think too much about it. Same as the anxieties or worries in my life. If I carry them for a bit, it might not seem like that big of a deal. But if I think about them for a half a day or carrying them around for a whole day, they begin to hurt. And if I carry them around for a week or a month, we soon become paralyzed. It's not that the object in our life got any bigger, but the longer we carry it, the heavier it becomes. And our worries and fears can literally paralyze us. And we become incapable of doing anything. So it's important that we remember that we need to let go. We need to let God's recipe for those anxieties and fears, we need to let Him have them. We need to take them to Him. We need to present them to Him as requests. Tell Him about it. He wants to guard our heart so that those things don't bring us to the point of bursting or breaking like we illustrated. His peace comes through prayer. And the rest comes when we find that peace. Peace of God can't be bought, it can't be earned, it can't be manufactured. It comes from a heart that's surrendered to Him and to His will. And when we transfer those heavy things in our life to Him through prayer, that's where we gain His peace. And I love how He says in verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You've probably been around people or you've experienced it yourself. When you were in a particularly hard time of tremendous loss, maybe a death or circumstances that just life comes to a halt type of thing. And you take it to the Lord and His peace just washes over you. And you might ask someone, or someone might ask you, how can you be at peace with whatever is going on? And there's the answer. You can't understand it. It's from God. It surpasses understanding. And we simply can't comprehend how that's possible. But we point to God and say, well, the Lord, I gave it to the Lord, and He's helping me. Paul wraps up this little teaching lesson with more about how we live that peaceful life. And he says, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. He will be with you. Our thoughts, you know, the things that fill our mind, that's where it's going on. That's where this war is being fought. And I'd like to propose, if it's not on this list in verse 8, then it shouldn't be in your mind. We should let the Lord take care of those things that don't belong there. Our character and our conduct begin in our mind. That's where the enemy gets a hold of us. So I trust, as you consider what's going on in your life, as you are faced with the hard things that come along, that you remember Paul's words, that you remember his encouragement to the church, that you remember where he was writing from, and that you are able to follow what verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Paul was able to speak from experience. The God that he put his trust in was the God that made it possible for him to rejoice and to relax and then to rest. Paul had put his faith in the God that was guarding his heart. And he was able to be such a tremendous encouragement to the church and to us today. And I'm so thankful for that. God bless each one of you as you serve here in this beautiful community, as you serve one another, as you bless each other, as you're an encouragement to each other. We all need that. And that's that, you know, as a pastor, I know I need to be more diligent in that, in encouraging those that are carrying a load, and to walk alongside each other. He writes about lifting the arms that hang down, and that's all a part of working together and serving together and bringing glory to God through it all. God bless you.